Life is a journey. What's your story? Well, I have someone in studio today who has a real story and also an amazing new fictional story. I want to welcome Linda Hurtado, better known as Linda Bond, for her books. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. When I got your text last night and it just said, wow, I was like, oh, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I hope it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Linda, tell us a little bit about All the Missing Girls and the newest book.
All the Captive Girls. So this is a three-book series featuring Mari Alvarez, who is a Cuban-American crime reporter, and her sidekick, Orlando Jones, who is a TV news photographer, and a homicide detective she meets in book one, Tony Garcia, who they go on three adventures. And it's all kind of... It starts with book one, where they're trying to uncover a serial killer in the West Tampa area. And I try to write my books so they're all standalone. So if you just pick up the new book, it reads like a standalone. But these three characters do go on a great journey throughout the three-book series. So All the Captive Girls takes place back in Tampa. I always wanted to write a book based in Gasparilla because I thought, it's just so cinematic. I mean, who else has, you know, almost 3 months of partying in pirate outfits, right? And so I thought also that would be the perfect place for a killer to hide in plain sight because everybody's dressed up like pirates. A lot of people are drinking, right? They got face makeup on. And so if something bad happened and you turned around to look at the people next to you, you wouldn't even know, right, who was doing what because everybody's in costume. So it takes place during Gasparilla, and it features a killer who everyone thought was dead coming back to seek vengeance on Mari. And I also wanted to write about artificial intelligence because as a journalist, it's really changing the game. And I don't think people know exactly how much artificial intelligence can do now. And it's kind of scary.
Well, you know, there are so many homages to both your career and to Tampa. I mean, we have Ybor City, the underground tunnels. We have the Cuban tradition of food from chicken fricassee and yellow rice. But what I really like the best is not just Gasparilla, but you must love Phantom of the Opera.
I do. It was my favorite Broadway show growing up. I loved the music. I loved just all the costumes and how grand it was. And so I wanted to incorporate that as well. And you may notice that I added a masquerade ball to the Gasparilla festivities, which I think we need to actually add in real life. There needs to be a masquerade ball, right? It's just so suited for the Gasparilla theme. So maybe some organizer somewhere at like the Stovall House or something will come up with the idea for and make it for a charity. And let's have a grand masquerade ball and let's add that to Gasparilla.
Well, you can smell Phantom of the Opera. You can hear the music. It's really just, I could not. It is riveting. I just ran through it, and one night I read it. I plan on reading it again. Let's talk about how being a journalist and Marie's reputation are completely altered by AI. Tell us a little bit just about the deep fake and that kind of thing.
Well, I think it's really scary to think that someone, a person who knows how to use artificial intelligence, you know, like hackers do, could really ruin your life. Basically, overnight, they could take images of you and put you someplace that you weren't. They can fake your voice and make it sound like you're confessing to a crime when you didn't. And then they can work the algorithms of social media, and you'll have a million views overnight. And how do you stop that train when it's rolling? Now you're guilty until you can prove you're innocent. Because the whole world sees you doing something you didn't actually do. So if you're a reporter and your whole career is based on your reputation, as mine is, that's a really deep hole to dig yourself out of. And if someone hates you and they want to ruin you and you know, your whole career is on this validation, right, from social media and people that watch you, that would be the perfect way to do it. And that's what he does.
Well, it's a ferocious, terrifying game. With nonstop action, one of the things that I just love is this ball and the chandelier and how you describe this. Did you have a chandelier in mind? Because I could see it.
It was the great chandelier on the stage play Phantom of the Opera. Remember when it swings out? And I mean, I was so impacted by that play because I grew up in the theater when I was young. So, I, you know, back in the day, I thought I could star on Broadway. You know, when you're 15, you think you can do anything. And so I saw that play so many times, and I just needed to write that scene in my book.
Oh, I love that. Well, you know, there's another little backstory that you have that enters into the book. And there's a baton twirling person in the parade, and yes, she misses. And I know that you were just reliving a previous chapter. Just tell us, our listeners, a little bit about
that.
Sure.
So I was a majorette with the University of Georgia Redcoat Marching Band. Go Dogs. And they had their 50th anniversary this year. Not my 50th anniversary, just want to clarify that, but the band's 50th anniversary. And they invited all the alumni back to just to twirl during halftime. And I've gone back a couple of times to perform during homecoming, but you only get to do pregame. So halftime's a big deal. And it was during the Georgia-Georgia Tech game. And so I had to learn a routine and practice it. And it was so great to, like, go back and twirl between the hedges with my friends, like all of the people that were in the line that I twirled in on the field that night. They were the ones that I twirled in back in college. And it was, you know, I felt, I don't know, 21 again for one night. It was great.
Well, we won't argue with how good you look here in studio. We're so happy to have you here. So, you know, there's a thriller. There's a mystery. There's journalism, there's AI, there's drones, there's deep fake, but there's also romance, there's a new man.
Yes.
You know, what is going on with Mari Rhymes with Sorry?
Well, if you've read all three books, you know that she has a history with Tony Garcia, the homicide detective, and it's kind of this push-pull relationship. They're working together, so there's that. Do you want to get involved with someone that you're working with? And then, you know, his personality is he's kind of introverted, and they both have, you know, trauma that they're dealing with that kind of keeps them codependent on each other, but maybe not moving towards that like romantic stage yet. So throw in, excuse me, this flamboyant, over the top detective who's just kind of the opposite of Tony Garcia, right? And just kind of that charming narcissistic guy, right? That you can't help but like, even though he is a narcissist. And I love to write about kind of that triangle, you know, of who is Mari going to end up with? The guy who is so overtly interested in her. And don't we all want to be wanted? Isn't that what we all want? We want to hear it. You're gorgeous. You're sexy. I want you. And she would like to hear that from the other guy, but then here comes Mr. Flamboyant. And so there's that push and pull in this. And I love romance. If you know anything about my writing career, I started in romance. So I really enjoy writing about that.
Well, there's a lovely article in St. Pete Life magazine, and we will have the new editor, Nick Steele, here today. And I did not know that your uncle kind of was, you know, your first start with the James Bond thing. Tell us about that.
When I started writing fiction, I decided I needed to write in a pen name because I want people to know what they're getting. So when you read something by Linda Hurtado, it's news. I'm a journalist, fact-checked, right? If you read something by Linda Bond, it's fiction, and a lot of it is probably based on reality, but it's made up. So I chose Bond because it was my mother's maiden name, and her brother was James Bond. Now, the sexy movie hero, he was actually a law professor, but it just fit, right? Because especially my first three books, if you read them, they're like James Bond movies. There's action, adventure, a mystery to solve, a sexy guy. You know, there's a quick love scene, and then you drive off in a car and something explodes. I mean, it's like it's a James Bond movie basically on the pages. So it fit.
Well, tell us a little bit about the writing of this book and your writing experience, your creative space. I know that you sometimes write late.
It's helped now that the kids are out of the house to have that time. And my husband, Jorge, who's here, by the way, he's kind of like my MMJ today. Thank you, Kudacom, for letting him come into work late today. So the writing process has changed over the years. And my publisher actually wanted me to write two books in one year, which I've never done before. So All the Missing Girls came out last August, and then this is coming out in February, All the Captive Girls. And it was a push for me to actually write a book this quickly. And it was also a push for my publisher to get it, I think, done as quickly as we did. And the reason we did it that way, and my publisher, Entangled Publishing, was because we wanted people to get connected to the characters and to have the next book quickly so you don't have to wait. Sometimes you love these characters, but they disappear for a year or two, and you don't get to follow them. And so we wanted to speed up the process. And you enjoyed the book, so I guess we did okay.
I more than enjoyed the book. I've decided that everybody's getting it for their birthday this year.
Oh,
so,
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about it. It releases on February 17th. Are you on pre-order at this point?
We are on pre-order. So you can go to Amazon and just look up Linda Hurtado Bond, and all three of the books will come up. The other two are available right now, but you will have to pre-order All the Captive Girls. It comes out on February 17th.
You must have some
during Gasparilla.
During Gasparilla. I'm sure you have some events planned.
Oh, gosh, I do. On the 23rd of January, the Kairos Exchange, if you're not familiar with that, it's a really neat organization in Tampa. They are doing an event at the Tampa History Center, and we're talking about fact versus fiction, right? Did Jose Gaspar actually exist? What is Tampa's real history with pirates? I think that's fascinating, so I'll be attending that. And then on the 19th, we're planning a party in at the distillery, the Gasparilla-based distillery down in Ybor City. Let's see. May 1st, they kind of stretch out, but May 1st I'm doing another event with Kairos on AI and how artificial intelligence is being used. And then I'm doing a lot of local things like this in between. So decided not to do a book event at a bookstore this time because I just did one. They seem to be happening sooner. So, but I'm open to appearances, book clubs, whatever. If anybody would like to have me come talk, I'm always interested in making appearances around the Tampa Bay area.
Well, we are restarting our author series here at Thrive, our Lunch and Learn. So I know John Miles will be with us. I know L.L. Kirshner will be with us.
Love
so
her.
We'll find a date.
I would love to do it.
Find a date. We'll be doing a recording. So let's talk. Let's just switch from Captive Girls for a minute to how you're using AI at the station. And let's talk for a moment about personally, professionally, how you use it to write, how maybe you don't use it, and your concerns about how AI is being used in journalism.
Well, I mean, I do have concerns about how AI is being used by people that have a malicious intent. You know, I do worry about that. But I think to assume that you cannot, jump on the bus and use it, you're going to get left behind. So you have to learn how to use AI in your career. Or it's going to take your job. So, for instance, with this book, what I did was I hope I'm not giving anything away, but there's a bomb at a parade. And normally, as a journalist, I would call the PIO at Tampa Police Department, set up an interview with the bomb squad, and that might take a week or whatever, whenever they're available. Then you have to interview them or send them questions, and then you have to wait for them to get – okay, with AI – I literally just typed in, give me the first five steps that the Tampa bomb squad would do if there was a bomb on a float in Gasparilla. And in 10 seconds, it answered. So then, because I'm a journalist, I did send it to a former bomb squad member at TPD and had him read it to fact check it, because I still think, you know, you need to fact check AI. But it was right. And they really didn't change anything. So I think for research, it's a brilliant tool.
I love the fact that you said the word fact checked as Meta just fired all its fact checkers. Its entire department. So as usual, being an award-winning journalist of many years who's made such a difference in our community, Linda, folks, if you're a journalist, you're not a journalist, you heard it first from Linda, you can use AI, but fact check.
Right. You know, in fact, even Grady Judd read the book. The sheriff of Polk County, because I, you know, tell me if I'm getting it right, the law enforcement. He did tell me one thing. He said, you would never be invited in the real-time crime center as a reporter. So I did leave that in the book, but I justified why she was there in the book. But that was really the only thing he said that I got wrong. He's like, you would never be invited in my real-time crime center. As a reporter. Okay, Grady, thank you.
Yes, that's Grady. We love you, Grady. Shout out to Grady. Yes. He's the best.
He is.
Let's talk about Cuban culture, your experience, your background, how it gets into the book and really shapes it from Santa Teresa, which is not necessarily Cuban culture, but also to, I love the one line, Forgive but never forget.
Mm-hmm.
And it's woven beautifully into the book and into the relationship between the two sisters and the previous trip to Cuba. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, forgive but never forget. So one of the themes of the book is revenge, you know, and is it better to forgive somebody or to take out revenge on them? What is going to give you more peace and what is going to, you know, help you move on with your life after a traumatic experience? And that is a Cuban saying. And, you know, I am not Cuban American myself. I married into my husband, Jorge Figueredo's family. So I learned a lot of the traditions from his mother, actually. And my first experience with Santeria and the evil eye was when our daughter got really sick. And I, you know, his mom used to watch her all the time while I was working. God bless her. And she brought a prayer out while I was holding Jackie and said the prayer over her and then told me about the Azabache charm and how I should get one for Jackie to wear. And I was like, what's going on? And she's like, well, someone is giving Jackie the evil eye and that's why she's ill. And sometimes people can give you the evil eye even unknowingly. It could be a deep-rooted envy or maybe they had a traumatic experience in their childhood and they're resentful for some reason. But it's an energy that they put out. And, you know, some people believe it can make you sick. Some people believe that it can, you know, bad things could happen when someone is wishing you ill will. You know, the whole voodoo doll thing, right? So in the Cuban culture, if you wear the Azabache charm, it is supposed to ward off the evil eye and or something like this. I wear an evil eye bracelet, and you're supposed to wear it on your left because that's where the energy enters. So,
and, you know, Abuela,
mm-hmm.
the death of their mother, Izzy and Marie.
Marie's mother, yeah.
Yes, it's just it's heartrending. And once again, it's a theme of love, revenge, forgiveness.
Family.
Family. And this is very important. So you love your family.
I love them very much.
Children, right?
Five children, yes.
Right. And so tell me a little bit about how important family and faith, really, in this book helps Marie get through.
Well, I'll give you an example from our family, how important it is they are to each other. So we have five kids, and I became a mother in a number of different ways. When I married my husband, he had two children, so I was a stepmother first. Then we had two biological children, and then we adopted his second cousin from Cuba. So we became adoptive parents. So we have a very modern-day eclectic family, I will say that. And the youngest turned 21 this year. And her one wish was to have all the siblings come back because they're spread out now. One's in Minneapolis, one's in Oregon, one's in Houston, to come back the week of Christmas and celebrate her turning 21, to take her out. You know, it wasn't her friends. It wasn't, you know, a significant other. She wanted to be with her family. So I felt like Jorge and I have done a really good job of raising our kids in that they still like each other and want to be around each other and us. You know, so I rented them an Airbnb and they all brought their significant others and we had 2 days of a blast in St. Pete. We went to Goodnight John Boy and danced disco and it was really fun. But the fact that that was her birthday wish, was to have her family all come together and celebrate with her, I think speaks volumes about who your core is in life. You know, people will come in and out of your life, but your family, even on the days you don't like them, you will love them and they are the ones that will be there for you. They show up.
You know, you mentioned disco dancing, and when I read this book, all I could think about was it's a cat and mouse game tango.
Yes, it is. It's kind of based on my favorite serial killer thriller of all time is Silence of the Lambs. So you saw that unique relationship between Hannibal Lecter and Clarice, right? There was a love, hate, respect. I'm going to turn you in, but I kind of love you. I'm going to let you go. What is going on between those two, right? And it's the same kind of relationship between Mari and the serial killer, really over the life of the three book series.
And it mirrors Christine and the Phantom.
Yes, it does. Absolutely, it does too.
Is Jessica based on another reporter you know?
Jessica isn't, no. But there are some people in the book that are based on people I know, but I probably shouldn't say.
Well, folks, we have been talking with Linda Hurtado Bond, Linda Bond, All the Captive Girls, All the Missing Girls. Are you working on the third book?
You know, I'm going to take a break from the serial killer thrillers with Mari and Tony, unless Entangled is pitching it to Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, all of those they have a TV pitch deck. It's going out. And so if it, you know, if they sell it, I'm going to write a fourth book. These characters will live on because we need season one, two, three, and four, right? Of Mari and Tony and Orlando and Matt. Did you like Matt, by the way?
Did I like Matt? I want Matt.
You want Matt? Good. Then I succeeded.
Who would play those three characters?
Oh,
Who would you cast?
Mari would be Anna. Anna, is it?
Joy?
No, she's a Cuban American actress, Jorge. Help me out. Anna.
Was she in Knives Out or one of the
Yes. She's this beautiful Cuban-American actress.
Yes.
So she would definitely. And then you know the guy who played Elvis? The blonde who played Elvis. Yes, Ana de Armas. Thank you. So she is gorgeous, and I want her to play Mari. I'm just putting that out there. So the guy who played Elvis I thought was fabulous. And the director, Boz.
Boz, and he did Moulin Rouge,
yes,
as well, right?
And the Elvis, and what else? He did The Great Gatsby,
yes.
So
Austin
Butler, yes. And I want him to play Matt. I think he could play Matt and be awesome, right? I'm not quite sure who Tony Garcia would be. I need a handsome, you know, Cuban American actor.
That would be Jorge.
Yes, my husband definitely could. Well, you know, that's who I was thinking about when I write these heroes. So yes.
Well, it is wonderful. Tell us how people can find out more about the books and you.
LindaBond.com. Pretty easy. Just go to LindaBond.com or go to Amazon.com and look up Linda Bond Books.
And don't forget to watch Linda every day. And, you know, it's just wonderful what you've been doing. Thank you for everything you've done for the community. For Radio St. Pete, I'm Nanette Weiser. I'm your host today for What's Your Story? And it's all the captive girls. Linda Bond, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's always a joy.